Welcome back to On the Screens. This is a special short podcast.
Rogue One.
About Rogue One. What can we call it? I was thinking it, people call mini episodes mini-sodes or, I don't know, small screen. Let's call it a small screen.
Small screen.
It's a small screen.
There you go.
It's a small screens today. Talking about Rogue One, we saw it last week. So we saw it in a big group. I saw it for the first time that evening. I believe you did as well. But let's talk about what we liked, what we didn't like. We had a wrap-up, I think, last year after The Force Awakens.
Yeah. Didn't we do the podcast like a couple weeks before? And we said what we were looking forward to.
And we're going to do that this time, but we got lazy. And now we're doing a wrap-up, which I think is better because we can talk about the film. Full spoilers ahead. I'm not going to not talk about things in the movie. So if you don't want to be spoiled.
If you haven't seen it. Don't listen to us.
I mean, yeah, don't listen. Go watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or go listen to this while you're watching it with your headphones on.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So we saw it. Did you like it?
I liked it a lot.
I liked it
more than episode 7.
That's saying a lot.
There's so much pressure on it.
Did you expect that film to turn out the way it did? Did you think Disney would hold back some of the darker elements of that?
I thought they would. I thought they would interfere and just like, because when I heard the reshoots happening, I'm like, gosh, they're probably gonna lighten it up like a lot. And that was what I was thinking coming in. I'm like, the reason for the reshoots is definitely like, it was probably too dark for Disney to handle. And they're like, no, we got to make it like, you know, less dark and more, Disney. And watching it after, I'm like, wow, like, I don't know what exactly they changed, but it was still pretty dark.
It's funny because people started analyzing the trailers and they saw the shots of Jyn Erso on the beach with the hard disk. So it's like, I wonder if they went even darker and they went from like a lighter ending to like just a dark ass ending. They're like, fuck it, go full throttle on this ending.
Yeah.
I did not think they were all going to die. Spoiler, they all die. I thought someone was going to live. I thought there'd be some weird ending that would get shoehorned into some book later on and then ignored, you know, in regard to them, where their whereabouts for the trilogy. But no, they did it. They killed all of them. And they weren't mostly cheap deaths. Like, they died, you know, in conjunction with what was happening in the film.
Yeah.
Like, they're all doing their part and they die for the...
They died honorably.
You know, for the cause. I loved how lived in it felt. I loved how it felt like I was watching the original trilogy again in terms of like how
it when felt. It was on Jedha, I felt I was like I was watching A New Hope.
It felt so loved it. It looks sleeker because it's newer and digital and whatever, but when they're like in Yavin, it's just like it just felt like Yavin to me before. I think a big concern was when I saw the trailer and you hear that line of "This is a rebellion, I rebel," I was like, "Oh, that's kind of cringy." I don't know if I like that line that much. It wasn't in the film.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of shots not in the film, so there's obviously the reshoots happened post the trailer releases, or I don't know, those were just psych out stills for us to freak out over. But it gave me what I wanted, and that was badass Darth Vader. So that's
surprising. All right. Well,
it didn't surprise me. It was brutal to a point where I was like, "Whoa, this is."
Yeah.
Sometimes you see Disney painting Darth Vader as like a lovable villain in that sense of like, I said villain with a B, lovable villain with that's like, oh, he's a bad guy, but who doesn't want to hang out with Darth Vader?
Because I remember reading an article saying something like, I think Gareth Edwards says like, you're gonna see Vader like as you've never seen him. He said something about like, you're gonna see Vader like strut his stuff a little bit. He hinted like Vader was gonna show some of his power. Mm-hmm. And to see that in the way it went down, I was just so pleasantly, I don't know if to say surprised, but it was just...
You were satisfied.
Yeah, and it was just like, it's one of those moments that's going to stick to you. And there's certain scenes in certain Star Wars films that'll stick to you. That one was one for me. It was just one where it's just like, now when I watch A New Hope, and I see the rebel soldiers lining up behind the door. I'm like, fuck, now I know what went down behind that door.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about
that. And it's like, you watch the trilogy, and David Prowse can be kind of clumsy as Darth Vader. It's kind of like lumbering. And
yeah.
But now you see him right in the same timeline, and he's a complete badass. Like, you understand what he could be feared. He's doing shit nobody can do and just murdering dudes in hallways. Mm-hmm. How'd you feel about Tarkin?
I mean, the thing is, with Twitter and like everything these days, people are going to bitch either way. They're either going to say CJ was horrible, they should have just gotten with a person and put like the right makeup and prosthetics on them, or if they get a person and put prosthetics and makeup and all that stuff, they're going to be like, oh, it's so horrible, they should have gone CGI. You're not going to win. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I saw it online, oh, the CGI was horrible, but you know what? At the end of the day, like, it was going to be complaints either way. People would have bitched either way. That's the way I see it.
I heard a lot of people complaining, surprisingly to me, about Leia's CGI job. I thought that was flawless. I thought I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's Carrie Fisher being Carrie Fisher as old, young Carrie Fisher. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed it. Tarkin, at first I was like, oh, it's a little bit weird. But I got used to it. I mean, yeah. I was just like, okay, whatever. Worst case scenario, it ages badly, but it felt fine to me.
Yeah,
I was seriously. Okay. I mean, I was excited to see Tarkin again. I mean, he's a badass, and it also made me admire how much of a cold-hearted bastard he is. Like, he's not afraid of Vader like these other dudes are.
Yeah,
if anything, Vader listens to him. You know, so seeing Tarkin again be a complete asshole.
It's sad. It's sad watching like Krennic go from place to place, like trying to handle a situation. It's like a PR guy trying to handle like a crisis.
Yeah.
Before it like explodes in his face, and it literally like explodes in his face. But it's just funny to see him go from Tarkin to Vader to Scarif, and just like he's trying to handle like the leak and.
Yeah,
he's trying to handle like, you know, he's trying to make everyone know like, look, the situation's under control, everything's fine, when in fact, you know, he fucked up.
Speaking of the leak, I am so bummed out that Mads Mikkelsen will not be in Star Wars anymore, because I really enjoyed him.
Yeah, he was good.
I liked him a lot. I love whenever he's in anything. I liked him in Doctor Strange. I liked him in this. I really like the fact that there's going to be probably a bunch of cosplayers now wearing the Empire Engineer outfit, because if you notice, it's a whole new logo that they had on their thing.
Yeah, it was like the laser.
It was like a slanted, almost like I love that.
I like that one.
I like that a lot. I like his outfit. I liked seeing his character. He was always great. I liked it. I wish he could be in more now, but he's dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess he'd come back as like a hologram or something. I don't know.
I mean, they could do stuff with the like. I mean, one guy that I could see have like a movie down the line, or two guys actually, is Saw and then Cassian, because he has that whole like, he's a rebel intelligence officer. You could have something like he probably would never do this because he's probably gonna blow up after this movie and get a bunch of movie roles and stuff like that, but like they've always talked about like a live action Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
I mean Star Wars TV show. Yeah. And when I was watching the movie, and after, I'm like, you know what? Like, his whole rebel intelligence, like, you know, he's a rebel intelligence officer. He's going around gathering intel and stuff like that. Like, that could make for a good, captivating show. Like,
it could. I mean, I know you're like TV is below them, but I mean, you could drop that on Netflix and people would fucking.
Exactly. It could be like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but like Rebellion.
Good. Oh, okay.
But good. Uh-huh. But yeah, and I mean, he doesn't even have to be in it. It could just be like something that just. Say, oh, well, this is Cassian's division, and just go off of that. But, like, I could see him having a movie maybe sometime down the line, because they're supposed to churn one out every year now. So it's just somehow. One of those things where...
I like how he didn't become a throwaway character for the saga. He seems as important, you know, to the Rebellion as anyone post-Rogue One.
Yeah.
So I loved his character. When he shoots that guy in the alley, I was like, holy shit, this dude is a killer.
Yeah, you know.
But he's willing to fucking get his hands dirty, do shit for the Rebellion. Which sometimes I didn't think Jyn Erso would do it. I feel like she was a little bit too, not fragile, but I feel like she was a little bit too apprehensive to get her hands dirty.
Yeah.
When it's implied that she did get her hands dirty with Saw in the past. So mm-hmm. I want her to be a little bit more ruthless, but she's good. I mean, she's fine. I like her. I wanted more Forest Whitaker. Absolutely more Forest Whitaker. Maybe Rebels, the cartoon, will give us more, but it's not going to be, you know, movie Saw. I
kind of have less respect for the Rebellion now.
Why? Because
just because they're ready to give up. They're like, yeah. Oh, they have this master weapon. Oh, fuck it. Yeah. Let's not fight. It was not. Like Rogue One rebelled against the rebellion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it took that like kick. It took that kick in the ass, and it took them rebelling to get the other ones involved. And like that's what I like. I think it made me love like the Rogue One, the crew as a whole more.
Uh-huh.
But like the Rebel Alliance as a whole, like they look like cowards.
They looked like people that just
didn't want to fight.
Yeah, I want to know what extreme Saw went that they pushed him to the side. Exactly. I want to know how much of an extremist was he. He ambushed soldiers, I guess. You know, like that. Because
that
sort
could
of
have
stuff,
been that. That's a that could be a possible movie down the line too. Just like
explore
what
that.
What caused him to go the way he did.
If, because it implies that Rogue One turned the tide completely for the rebellion. Before that, they're like on the run. They're no match for the Empire, and then they. You know, the Rogue One plans flip it all over. There was a point where I was watching and I was like, does the rebellion give a shit about the people it kills? There was a point where when they're fighting above Scarif and the ship started like just getting blown out of the sky, and I forgot the guy who's like commanding that fleet, the calamari guy.
Oh, Admiral Raddus.
Yeah, he didn't seem to give a shit about anything happening around him. He just wanted to get something done, which I get it. But at the same time, it almost made the rebellion feel a little bit heartless. Like they didn't care about who died. They just needed to keep fighting.
Yeah.
And Saw's group felt more like a unit. They felt more like they were like they cared
like
a little bit
together.
More.
Yeah.
And so did the Rogue One team. They felt a little more idealistic, I guess.
Yeah.
While the other guys were just like, well, you know, let's go die, and it doesn't matter who dies. There were so many good elements in this movie, and I told you my biggest point was that I wish they gave Gareth Edwards episode 9.
Episode 9.
Oh, God, if he had episode 9.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like the perfect Star Wars movie. I don't think anything has come close to this feel. And I'm wondering, like, imagine if he, I mean, it's not going to happen ever, obviously, but if this is what I wish the Battle of Geonosis felt like when they're on Scarif, and it's just a big ass battle.
True. Yeah.
And that would have been intense, just like a big land battle.
Yeah.
But we got CGI Mars instead.
It was
but
it looked like Nom.
It looked scary. It looked frightening. You didn't know who was in the bushes or, just the geography kind of threw me for a loop because I didn't know where everybody was at one point. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far they were from each other, but it seemed so vulnerable because it was so open. It was so bright. There was something creepy about how bright it was and how dangerous it was already.
Exactly.
I wish we could see more Death Troopers. Because for once, they felt like a frightening unit. Like, they felt like they could be just the elite squad of stormtroopers that we've been wanting to see. And someone asked me, you know, what happened to them? Like, what happened to the Death Troopers? Why are they not in the trilogy? And I'm just going by my own theory that they're Krennic's personal squad.
Yeah.
And once they got
wiped out.
Yeah. It makes sense. That's what I would believe. Because, I mean, why wouldn't we see more of them if they're, like, their special forces to a degree?
Yeah.
I there's so many elements I enjoyed about it. I'm trying to think of what else I loved. I've heard this complaint, and I kind of agree. The music was a little forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the score that much. But I heard Michael Giacchino came in like a couple months before release. So like as an emergency.
That makes sense.
I mean, take a whole score in a couple months. Do you want the Han Solo movie?
I do. Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know. Now, I just want... All I want for it now is to live up to be just as good quality-wise as Rogue One, if not better. I mean, I understand going back to, like, you know, the old, like, the same characters and stuff like that, but like the way I see it now, it's just like they're taking these standalone stories seriously and they want to do the best they can. Mm-hmm. And so because Rogue One, I think they pulled it off and I felt it was excellent. I have more confidence in Han Solo now more than ever because I think they're putting the right people in charge and they're getting the right people. They're casting the right people. I think they got the perfect directors for it. And so now more than ever, I'm willing to see the Han Solo. Before, it was just, I was scared because I didn't want them to ruin like such an iconic figure. But since Rogue One, like I loved Rogue One, I have so much confidence in Disney now more than ever to make another great standalone movie.
Yeah, I want it to be good. I really do. I wish there was a bit more focus on non-trilogy characters for the spinoffs. Because I love the Rogue One cast. I love their story. So I want to see more.
That's why I'm interested in Emilia Clarke. See who she's playing.
Oh, she's been casted in Han Solo.
She's a, I don't know what, maybe, I don't know, a love figure before Leia or something like that.
Something of that nature.
But yeah, I mean, that's interesting. Which is also like the guy who's playing Han Solo, like out of the three guys, I mean, he's the one that I'm okay with. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted Taron.
Yeah.
From Kingsman, and then the other guy, I always forget his name, but he's the brother in Sing Street.
Have you seen Hail Caesar?
Yeah, I saw Hail Caesar. I mean, he plays a dumb cowboy pretty good.
After I saw Hail Caesar, I felt a lot more confident in his ability to do it, because I was like, he can play dumb really good.
If he can play dumb, he needs to play confident and cocky and just like...
I think he nailed dumb, and I Han Solo isn't dumb, but he has some, you know, some dumb brashness to him, so hopefully he can capture that. What else is there? This movie, I enjoyed it. I thought I was scared it was gonna be Disney-fied in that sense. It wasn't gonna be as dark, but it was crazy. It was so good. I can't believe how good it was. I think you tweeted something about people complain if it's something's too nostalgic or not nostalgic enough.
Yeah, I mean, when the prequels were out, and I'm not saying defending the prequels and saying, oh, it's a great masterpiece.
No,
none of that.
No.
But, like, one of the big complaints that, oh, it didn't feel like a Star Wars film. There wasn't, like, that feel of nostalgia attached to it. Mm-hmm. And that was a big complaint about the prequels. Now, what I heard from Episode 7 and Rogue One are people on Twitter saying, gosh, like, what's with this nostalgia trip? It's too much nostalgic. It's like, dude, you can't win. You just can't win sometimes with people. And it annoys me. But, like, same thing with the target, the CGI stuff. It's like, either way, you're going to get complaints from both sides. And it frustrates me. It's like, God, you know, remember that story you said a while back, or like a couple of podcasts back, about that guy that you saw at Comic-Con and they had the Rogue One outfits?
Oh, yeah.
And he complained about the fucking boots.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, oh, it was like lazy costume design. And I was like, oh, calm the fuck down.
Yeah,
guy.
Dude. It's like, it's come on. Boots. Come on. It's you're like, not going to get better fucking production design than that. They're not going to get so detailed, you know?
We're not going to get close-ups of their fucking boots, dude. I forgot. I want to punch that
guy. It's people like him that probably are on Twitter saying shit like that.
I don't get it. I don't get that critical fan was like, you love it so much, but you really want to shit on it all the time. It's like, okay, I don't understand that.
And there's like a certain, I don't even want to say the name, but there's certain writers that write like think pieces and stories, and then they say, well, they lay their points out and they criticize the film and they say like what's wrong with it, why it didn't connect with them and stuff. But then after they say that, they go, well, what I would have done is, and that's when you lose me, when you start writing think pieces like that. It's like, okay, you could criticize it. You could say it didn't connect with you. It didn't have A, B, and C.
It turns into fan fiction.
But yeah, but then when you you want to put your hot take as to like what you think it should have done or what you would have done as a director or whatever, or as a screenwriter or something. It's just like, all right, dude, like, you know, pump the brakes. Like,
yeah.
That's when it gets annoying. That's when those think pieces and stuff, they get annoying.
It's funny because on the other end, I don't know if you've noticed, there seems to be a lot more and more, not defending it, but a lot more people writing about how they don't absolutely hate the prequels and they can kind of see what they were trying to get to with the prequels.
Yeah.
I've seen some articles about that. We were saying like Phantom Menace isn't as terrible as we've been saying it is. And sure, it's not complete trash. I don't think it's good. It's not as entertaining as I wanted it to be, but it's not complete trash. Like, people are like, oh, this is my childhood is raped. It's over. It's like, no, it's not, dude. It's not. Just don't watch episode one ever again.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. I'm trying to think because...
You know what, though? Like, Duel of the Fates is...
Duel of the Fates is a classic.
I think that might be the best... I don't know. I don't want to say it's the best lightsaber fight, but top. It's if there was, like, a list of, like, the lightsaber fights in all the trilogy films, it's got to be... top three.
Because it was at least that is one of those things where it's like that introduced something new to the Star Wars universe that people don't appreciate as much. Like, and later by the end, by episode three, people are just like, they're just twirling their lightsabers and like not hitting each other. It's like, okay, I get it. But watch Duel of the Fates. It is amazing how choreographed it is and how fresh it was and how Star Wars it still felt.
Yeah.
That's people don't appreciate that.
Because even in A New Hope, dude, like the one scene, it looked like their lightsabers weighed 65 pounds the way they were wielding it around. Yes. It was just so like wooden and stuff.
Yeah, and I think they're just literally just trying to like smack each other with
it. Yeah, and I'm sure they probably didn't even want to break it. I bet you it was like a sensitive like material at that time.
People don't understand how special Duel of the Fates is. I think it's one of the best lightsaber fights.
Yeah, exactly.
If just by going all the movies, the best lightsaber fights, in the top three, I'm going to put Duel of the Fates and Episode 7, Kylo Ren and Rey.
Yeah.
It's funny, though,
because I saw a lot of lists, and surprisingly, like, The Phantom Menace wasn't at the bottom a lot of the times. It was Attack of the Clones. Like, I've been seeing a lot of, like, Attack of the Clones, like,
I'll be honest, at the bottom. When I've rewatched Attack of the Clones, I fast forward through a lot of scenes now.
Yeah.
I try to get to certain scenes, and I fast forward through a lot of crap. It's not a good movie. You don't like sand.
Yeah, it gets exactly. Everywhere.
But that was the one that has the murder scene, doesn't it? Where he kills the Tusken Raiders?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Some savagery in there. But back to Rogue One. Is there anything you want to see more Saw? That was like your big...
Yeah, well, the thing is like...
Did we know Saw any of Saw's backstory before Rogue One? I don't think we knew anything. I didn't know he had fucking metal feet.
No, I don't know that
until I saw him. I was like, oh, he doesn't have legs. Okay.
Yeah, I just... he's a Clone Wars character. I mean,
he's gonna be in Rebels.
He's gonna be in Rebels. Or he was in Clone Wars, I believe. He already had an establishment. See, I don't want to like say like my opinion on Saw, like, because I know there's some backstory. I know I didn't watch a lot of Clone Wars.
I watched like the first.
I haven't watched a lot of Rebels. What I've seen in Rebels is amazing. Uh-huh. But I know like they brought Saw for a reason. That there is some back. There is some substance to that character. Yeah. And why he's such a fan favorite. But like I really enjoyed him. And I enjoyed Cassian. I just think, like, I don't know. Story-wise, I think Gareth Edwards nailed a better story than JJ did. But, like, character-wise, I like Cassian a lot. I like Jyn and Saw and all them and stuff. But, like, there's something about, there's something about Finn that I like more. There's something about Rey that I like more than Jyn. There's something about Poe and Kylo as like a villain more than Krennic. And it's just like, I think JJ in terms of characters can really like nail it more. But like Gareth Edwards in terms of overall storyline nailed it more. Because there are guys in Rogue, like Bodhi in Rogue One. Like, you know, I know nothing of the guy basically.
Yeah.
You know what? He was just like a lackey. He was just like, oh, stay at the ship, do this, do that. He was like the little errand boy throughout the whole time.
Yeah.
And it kind of sucked about like that part sucked. And I wanted more like Donnie Yen and his buddy. Like I wanted to learn more about them because they barely touched about like the Guardian of the Wills and how they were, what their role was in Jedha before the occupation. Mm-hmm. So I wanted more of that. It's not saying, like, they were crappy characters. It's not at all. But just I wanted more. And I think, like, just with Episode 7, they gave me enough. And I know they're going to be in 8 and 9, and like, I'll learn more about them. But just, like, the characters in Episode 7, I kind of, like, I like them more than the ones in Rogue One. Mm-hmm. Not to say I don't like the Rogue One's characters. I like them a lot. But just there's something about the characters in Episode 7 that I like a little bit more.
I think... what Episode 7 characters have, and it starts with Finn, and I think it kind of goes back to even Luke Skywalker, they all have a sense of vulnerability at some point in their arc. Like, they always feel vulnerable.
Yeah.
Rey gets captured. Finn has pretty much fucking PTSD from, like, being a stormtrooper. Poe is another guy that gets captured, and I guess in a way, he must be bummed out about BB-8. He doesn't know where the fuck BB-8 is. Like, they all have some sort of vulnerability. They feel human, more human. The Rebellion, the people in Rogue One, feel definitely a little bit hardened, a little bit more closed off. Like, they're not approachable. Yeah. Whereas, like, Finn, Rey, and... Rey's a badass, and she's kind of, like, hard on the outside a little bit. But she opens up when she gets, like, with Finn and Han Solo and stuff. So JJ does have this knack of making these really, really likable characters that you want to follow along, whereas Gareth Edwards has a good story you want to follow along and see where the hell it goes.
Yeah.
The scope, like, I mean, the scope of the battle on Scarif, when you see the Atwalkers coming at you, it's like, I just thought, holy shit, it's like that scene in Godzilla, like where you fucking see Godzilla, the scope of how big he is. You're like, holy, he captures that so well.
Yeah.
Like, it feels terrifying. You feel small. And he did that so well. Set pieces, action, Gareth Edwards is
far and away the best.
He's so good. Now I'm curious
to
how Rian Johnson's going to handle that, if there's anything big in that movie, because Rian Johnson works small. And he does small really well.
Mm-hmm.
But he works great with characters. So I want to know if there's going to be something big in that movie. I don't know. Is it going to be like Empire, where it's kind of a little bit less big? I mean, there's Hoth on Empire.
I mean, I heard a rumor. I forgot where I heard. I don't think it was on Twitter. Otherwise, I would have like just missed it. But just I heard something like that there's a reason why they showed Vader's, like, you know, sanctuary thing at Mustafar.
Uh-huh.
That, like, someone said supposedly it could be an 8 as, like, Kylo's own getaway, as his own, like, shrine to Vader.
Yeah.
But that was just like a rumor I read. But like, I mean, that would have been pretty. That'd be pretty cool. So, okay. I don't know. Maybe if it was something like, because I know when JJ went from when it went from JJ to Rian, JJ had notes and he gave it to Rian to carry on. I'm thinking like maybe Rian shared maybe some sort of like thoughts or concepts with Gareth in terms of like, you know, here's like Rian has Kylo. And Gareth is handling Vader at this point. Like, what can they do to make some sort of, like, even deeper connection?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where they establish, like, this Mustafar getaway.
Well, from what I heard, Mustafar is also referenced in the expanded universe. But regardless, there has to be a reason why that does not have a name on that. When you first see Mustafar, there's no indication that you're Mustafar. There's no Chiron at the bottom, which is really interesting, because that could always come back to Kylo Ren referencing Mustafar, and then you know where the fuck Mustafar
exactly.
is. Exactly. I'm excited for Episode 8 because of Rogue One. If they did talk, if Gareth Edwards and Rian Johnson talk, that's a crazy team that I would just let them do whatever they wanted. And I'm guessing if there is no big set piece like Rogue One in Episode 8, does Colin Trevorrow, does he have one? Because he's worked with like big things like in Jurassic World. So I don't know. At least
Rian wrote Episode 9.
Yeah.
So
I can't believe that guy wrote Brick, and now he's writing. He made Brick.
Yeah.
A movie about drug dealing high school.
And now he's doing a Star Wars.
And now he's
film?
Doing Episode 8, the biggest movie up to date for Star Wars. That's fun. And didn't he reply you telling you he couldn't tell you what his favorite movie of the year was?
Was it Rogue One? I'm probably sure it was, because I just asked him like out of the blue, because he was answering questions like, what's your favorite films of the year? And he says, you mean ones that I could talk about? And then he mentioned Moonlight, Manchester by the Sea. I think he mentioned a couple of other ones too. But like when he said that, you mean ones that I could talk about, I'm almost, it's got
to
be Rogue One.
You have to assume it's Rogue One.
Yeah. He probably saw like an early cut and he was just like,
this is insane. It's so good. Yeah. Anyway, thoughts on Rogue One overall. I loved it. I think it's amazing.
I loved it too.
I really want to watch that over and over again, because there's so many little things in that movie that I want to catch.
I can't wait for like the Blu-ray and stuff with all like the features.
All the extras. I want to watch all the deleted scenes. It's so good. It's a wonderful, wonderful Star Wars movie. It's a great movie.
It really is.
You know, I'm surprised there hasn't been like a heist movie at this point in the Star Wars world. Any of them have been a heist movie. Anyone could have been a heist movie.
Yeah.
But they weren't. So now we got one. It's really good. They nailed it. They're all dead. My one gripe. There were flashes of intimacy between Jin and Cassian, which I was like, let's not go there.
Don't do it.
Let's not go there. We don't need that. We don't need it. Maybe in some other cut they established some sort of like romantic link in some sort. Maybe they felt feelings for each other. But in the version that we saw, never caught the fact that they felt something for each other.
Yeah.
So when they got real close, I was like, don't do it. Don't kiss. Don't do anything. Don't make you more than what you are, which is right now basically soldiers.
Yeah.
But so they didn't do it, but I was okay. But hugging on the beach, dying, I mean, I guess you got to hold somebody.
That's true.
K2SO. We didn't talk about K2SO.
Oh my god.
K2SO. Oh, poor guy. He's dead
now. He was so good in that.
Like I could watch more K2SO. If they made like if they put him in Rebels, that'd be great. I'd love to see him in Rebels.
They should.
I mean, Alan Tudyk will do it. He's got nothing going on.
Yeah, he's just
but he's so good in it. He's so perfect. I loved how sassy he was. He was I forgot who I told. I feel like he seemed like a ballsier C-3PO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, I really liked him a lot. I'm sad he's dead. Everyone dies. Everybody dies in this movie. If you're still listening,
everyone
dies. Yeah, I enjoyed it overall. One of my favorite movies of the year, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, anything else to add on that?
I can't wait to see it again. Like, I'm really pumped for it. I want to see, like, the Blu-ray. I want to see, like, the ones that they cut out. Like, the stuff that...
I want to watch it in 3D It is in 3D, right?
Yeah.
I want to watch it in 3D because some of those visuals must look amazing in 3D. Yeah. I really want to go watch it in 3D. All right. Anyway, this is Jose.
This is Carlo.
And you can catch us at Twitter on the screen. Oh, wait, no.
Podcast OTS.
Podcast OTS on Twitter. On the screens podcast at gmail.com. Send us all kinds of mail, hate,
whatever.
Nice, whatever. Just no coupons, please. All right. I'll see you soon.
Later.
Bye-bye.